Have you been hitting the books and listening to lectures all day? It's time to relax, to unwind, and listen up. This is Brooke from Campus Chronicles, your go-to podcast for everything student life. No matter where you are in your academic journey, we have you covered. Think of us as a trusted mentor, friend, and confidant who always has your back. We'll be sharing inspiring stories, thought-provoking insights, and practical advice to help you succeed in and out of the classroom. So get ready to be inspired, enlightened, and entertained. Hello, hello, everyone. I am so excited to introduce you to the wonderful woman behind the entire Campus Chronicles podcast. Meet Rachel Wither. She is the Managing Director of Student FM. Rachel, thank you for being here.
Oh, it's my pleasure. Obviously, I'm really excited to be here, and it's just great to catch up again with you, Brooke.
And it's been a long time coming because, Rachel, this entire podcast was your idea. But before we get into all that, give us a little background on you.
Okay. I've had quite an interesting journey to where I am today. I actually started my career as a ballet dancer and performed professionally. I left the dance world. Then I got into property through the family company, which is Student FM. I've now been with Student FM for over 20 years. I don't want to really say that. And I actually have enjoyed what I learned in the dance world and bringing that into property. That might sound a little strange, but I learned discipline. I learned how to form positive habits to achieve what I needed to achieve in the dance world. And I think having strong habits and consistency has enabled me with an absolutely amazing team. We have an amazing team at Student FM, an amazing team and the other directors, to really have a company which, and with student accommodation providers, that's what Student FM is, to have a team that really supports the journey that a student has from the moment that they come into one of our buildings, it's their home, we make it their home, to the day that they leave on their journey into an exciting career. And I think it's been interesting for me in my time meeting so many different students and being excited in seeing their development over, you know, whether they've stayed with us for 1 year, 2 years, 3 years, their time with us, and how they've grown and changed and developed into an individual that's got so much to offer.
Mm-hmm. And speaking of development, we were talking about this before we hit record. Campus Chronicles was really born out of this desire to nurture future leaders. How did you get to that decision? What was the inspiration?
The inspiration for that is that we've really got to think that they are going to be, that these students are going to be our future leaders. And don't we have a responsibility to really help guide and nurture that, so that we help encourage an individual to embrace what challenges in a way that they're going to face, and also really help them on a path to mastery, I suppose, so that we'll have hopefully a world that is leaders with compassion and who are determined individuals, and hopefully that are going to help with the potential to lead towards a brighter future for all, really. That was the real inspiration, I think, behind Campus Chronicles. Being a mum myself, it's important to me to be the best role model that I can possibly be for my children. And I think from that thought process, that mindset about being a role model for my children, it was thinking, how can Student FM, how can Campus Chronicles really deliver something to the amazing students that we have in our building and in other buildings and at the university. How can we really support them to really embrace life and experience the best that they possibly can out of their academic journey? That's really, I think, well, there's a whole, it's quite a lot I've just said there about kind of what made me really want to do Campus Chronicles. But I really think it's about leaders for a brighter future.
You're in such a unique position. When you were talking about it, I thought about it for the first time, to nurture not only your children, but so many other children. And as you mentioned, leaders through your company. What's that like to be in that position where you can serve and help so many young people?
I feel quite honored by that. It is exceptionally rewarding when you see the development, the growth of an individual. A lot of our tenants, students, are international students, different heritages, cultures, and seeing the development and the growth when they come in to a completely new environment, to how they grow and develop and embrace, it's exceptionally rewarding. And just when you get a thank you at the end, when it's time for them to move on, it means an awful lot. Yes, it's Student FM is a business, of course it is, but to really get something from that, for us to give to these students and the whole team, it's rewarding. We get a lot from it.
Do you have a particularly rewarding moment or memory?
I think I do. Well, I do. We had a particular tenant. He actually stayed with us for, I think it was 5 years in total.
Oh, wow.
Yeah. So the whole journey with us. And starting, he worked for us as what we call a student warden. He worked in the building. And his contribution as he sort of developed working with the company and him supporting other students on their journey was incredible. And it was really a very simple message at the end via LinkedIn that his time with us was incredible and that he'd learned some real life lessons that had enabled him to really take them into his career. And his experiences he just really said had enabled him to get further than he thought he would. And he was such a fun, and obviously still is, but a really great, great individual to have working for us in our building as a tenant, as a student warden. And it really helps with the understanding the needs of a student when you have students working within the company. And it's building those positive work relationships and seeing, again, I think it was just a simple thank you. It means so much. Somebody taking that time out to say thank you for what you did, that for me is such a big thing.
I have two things to say. Number one, I love the term student warden. I could not love it more. It's adorable. And number two, as this Campus Chronicles podcast has come to fruition, what did you envision it looking like and how has that evolved as the podcast has grown and changed? Because I know for me, it's evolved quite a bit.
I have been so interested in the different topics that Campus Chronicles has been able to cover. And one of my favorite episodes is really how that having a hobby, and it was the cross stitch episode, just having a hobby and being in that present moment of doing something, how that can really help your mindset. And I think it's so interesting the different guests that we've had on from the students and how I've been so amazed with how incredibly mature the students that we've had on Campus Chronicles are. So impressed, and their drive and their ambition, but also their compassion. I've been amazed about, and I'm so for compassion and understanding and empathy, because I think if you have that, that's where respect comes. And I think it's just each and every guest, the contribution that they've made, the wonderful topics that we've done, from leadership to the cross stitch.
And we were both recently talking about the male body image podcast, and we said, oh my, as women, we learned a lot.
Yeah. I mean, that was such an incredible episode. And I hadn't thought that way. I hadn't thought about how a male can really think about a body image as women, it's talked about all the time, but it isn't talked about in the same way. How being, you know, strong and in the gym, how that can sort of, in a way, define that you are masculine. I hadn't thought of it that way. And it was George, wasn't it? George Mycock that did that episode. And it was what wonderful episode was that?
It was. Now, shifting gears a little bit, I want to talk about your university journey. What did that look like? What did you study? And how did you balance it all? Because you were dancing at that time, correct? You were probably still studying.
Yeah. So I did a Bachelor's of Performance Art. And I actually didn't live in university accommodation or in any kind of, I actually did that from home. Kind of my dancing career was, I think, really, in a way, when I moved down to London when I was 16 years old, and I lived in a accommodation with Spanish nuns. And I'd never been, and I've kind of missed your question actually, but I'll go to this because I think this really gave me more of an experience of kind of what I do now. And yeah, I lived in accommodation with Spanish nuns. I'd never shared a room with anybody, and it was a room probably about 11 square meters max, two of us. In there, we had a sink to share. We had to go and use an outside, you know, the toilet in the hallway corridor. And that taught me a lot about understanding another person's way of living, a way of being. That was quite challenging. And there was lots of rules with the Spanish nuns, and I won't go into that, but that was my first time away from home. I struggled with that a lot, but I think what I learned from that was surround yourself with a good group of friends that you can communicate with, that you can support each other and talk to your family at the same time. You know, if you've got great relationship with your family, talk to them, explain how you're feeling. That was my first kind of real experience of being away from home. And then doing my degree, carrying on with the dancing, that really was very much about being organized and being disciplined. And that's where I did ballet. I started ballet from the age of, I think it was about 4 or 5, something like that. And it teaches you discipline. And I really feel that skill has enabled me to be able to juggle, or not juggle is the wrong word, manage my time effectively. And I think avoid distraction. And I think that's how I managed to get through doing my Bachelor's of Performance Arts and dancing at the same time.
How does your dance discipline show up in your everyday property life? I'd be curious, beyond managing your time, what do you see yourself doing or catch yourself doing that really stems back from those dance days?
It's understanding that if you do something consistently, it will move you forward. And I'll use dance as a way of explaining it. For example, every day as a dancer, you practice certain movements. That's whether to help your flexibility, to enable you to improve that movement to perform on stage. It is the same in everything else that you do. If you practice that, if you do that consistently, that is going to move you a step closer to where you want to be. So it's about learning. It's discipline, it's consistency, and it's forming a habit. And it is a habit. It does become a habit if you do it over a certain period of time. It becomes part of your routine.
It's so easy to feel like things don't move the needle. So I love that you're sharing that, because we've talked about that in previous episodes. Little things do add up, even though it can feel daunting and can feel scary.
Absolutely. And I think it's thinking, yes, we all have these long-term kind of dreams, goals, whatever it may be, but break them down, then you'll actually see that the little steps, goals, whatever it may be, will get you to where that long-term dream, ambition, goal, whatever you want to call it, is. And I think it's taking things down into bite-sized chunks, and that's so that doesn't feel so daunting, so that doesn't feel so overwhelming.
When you were younger, did you always envision yourself going into property, or how did you fall here?
No, I didn't think I'd go into property at all.
How did I know that might be the answer?
Yeah. I was, as a dancer, I have the creative side, but I'm actually quite a practical individual. And I love family, and I'm very much an individual that likes my home surroundings. I like solitude. I'm very fortunate. I live in an environment where I've got incredible countryside. Those were some of the dreams that I had. And that, as I got older, while I was dancing, they became stronger. And it was then that I kind of decided, really, I want something different. And I was, you know, I was very fortunate that I could go into Student FM, a family business, and there is another business partner in there. But I was very fortunate. I started right down at the, you know, at the very beginning. I've run accommodation. I've cleaned rooms. I've done everything that you could possibly imagine to get where I am today in the company. But I just fell in love with it, because I was meeting such interesting, such diverse, different cultures, individuals, but all with such a brightness and a spark to make a difference, to make a change. And that's why I really enjoy what we do.
You bring up such a good point. Dreams evolve. So the dream that you thought you had is not always where you're going to end up. How did you come to that place?
In life, you will pivot, you will change. You'll be on a path, and maybe at some point you just don't think it's quite right for you, or you'll meet somebody that inspires you. And I think that that's, well, I think it's okay. And I've always been very much of the belief that trust your instincts and listen to that. And if I could give any young individual a little bit of advice, you don't need to take it, obviously, but is allow yourself the time to find some quiet time to take away the noise, so that you can hear yourself think, so that you can trust your own instincts, your own what it is that you want. And for me, I remember I was very fortunate that I met the incredible Bob Proctor, an amazing personal self-development individual that has done so much for so many people. And his word of advice was, why do you always think that when someone tells you something about yourself, why do you always accept that they know more about you than you know yourself? And when somebody tells you, no, I think you should do this, or I think you should do that, you go, okay, then. It's so easy to listen. It is so easy to listen. And for me, that really struck a chord. And now, if I need to kind of think of about something, it's I really turn to myself. I always think you should listen to people, but ultimately, listen to your gut, your instinct, and know yourself so that you can make the decisions that are based on what's best for you.
And I would add to that, make sure your dream is actually your dream versus someone else's dream that's been projected on you. Because for so many people, that's been the case.
I think I completely agree that. I think if you're good at something naturally, quite often you can get, is pigeonholed the right phrase? I don't know. But I think you can go, you can be in education and it can be you're good at maths or you're good at science or you're good at English and you get channeled down this road of studying that, doing that without thinking at the end of it, is this, how does this align with actually what I want to do? And I think it's really important to think about it being, as you've just said, about being your own dream and not someone else's projected on you. Yes, for sure.
And adding to that again, lifestyle. I actually met a doctor once who was just, as you mentioned, so good at science. So he kept going and going and going. He said, I literally hate the lifestyle of being a doctor because he never thought about it.
And this is the thing, if you're good at something, you just end up going down that and quite often with no consideration whether it suits your lifestyle. As we just spoke, you know, a few moments ago about the fact that the lifestyle of a dancer, in all honesty, did not suit me as an individual. I wanted a different kind of environment, a different surroundings.
That is such a good point. Now, shifting into something else, this is a hard question. If you were going to give three pieces of advice to students, it can be any sort of advice, financial, mental, physical, spiritual, whatever you choose to be, what would those three little snippets of advice be?
I knew you were going to ask me these questions.
I knew you knew I was going to say this. And I think we get such gems out of people when we do this.
Okay. I think embrace your uniqueness. Your path, your journey is unique to you. So embrace that. And on top of that, focus on your journey, only your journey. Don't compare, because I think comparison actually hinders your growth. It hinders your development. So focus on your journey. And this is one that I really follow. Well, I follow all of them, but I really follow this one is if you've got a struggle and you're really not kind of knowing how to get through that, don't say to yourself, if I get through this, if I can achieve this, change it just to how can I get through it? How can I achieve that? Because the minute you change that if to how, instantly it changes it to a positive because you are going to get through it because you've said to yourself, how am I going to do this? So that would be my three.
I have two things to say. So language affects our reality, number one. And number two, I was reading the novel Crazy Rich Asians, if you've ever read that novel, and they discuss that third point in the novel. So I couldn't believe you brought that up because that was just yesterday. But it's so incredibly true. And it's easy to say, if I get through this, if this person accepts me, if I get this client, or if I get this internship, versus how can I get the internship? And that will keep so many people stuck.
Absolutely. So always use how.
Now we have another scary one. What quote do you live your life by? And what quote would you endorse others to live their life by?
Quotes that I really... I'm a massive Jim Rohn fan, an American entrepreneur, author, self-development, and I really have completely kind of embraced what he offers in his teaching. And one of his quotes is, and this is what I want the title of the podcast to be, success is neither magical nor mysterious. Success is the natural consequence of consistently applying the basic fundamentals. So that's I think, a very important quote. And I do have another Jim Rohn quote. And it's this one. It's, don't wish it was easier. Wish you were better. Don't wish for fewer problems. Wish for more skills. Don't wish for less challenges. Wish for more wisdom.
I see the dance discipline peeping out in that quote as well.
I know.
I love to see it, because that discipline does become who you are after you've practiced it for a number of times. And even the music, the literature, the quotes that you are going to be attracted to are different when you have that infrastructure of discipline that you've put in your life.
Life is about learning. Life is about growing. Life is about embracing experiences, but it's also about taking action. And I think from the dance element, it's very much, it was always about developing, growing, taking that, you know, the experience of performance and analyzing it and seeing how that could develop, and then taking action on that so that you grow, it improves. And I think that's what life's about.
It's that tactical and creative together. And that's so important. You can't have one without the other. And if you're looking to get through university, to balance it all, to live a life that is fully integrated and aligned, you're going to have the discipline with the creative and with the joy and with the fun.
Couldn't say it any better, Brooke.
Is there anything you want to leave our audience with? If a piece of information, a story, a quote that really sticks out in your mind is something you really want to close off with?
I'm going to go back to really considering qualities. And I think, be resilient. Really think about being adaptable, having determination, and really just enjoy life's challenges, because you'll come out of them stronger. You'll have learned something from them, and always take from life a challenge, take it as a lesson, work out what that lesson is, and move on.
Now, I couldn't say it any better than you. I love that. Thank you so much for coming today and for sharing all of your insights and your wisdom with everyone, and for having this entire idea in the first place.
No, thank you, because I truly couldn't have asked for such an amazing presenter to be doing Campus Chronicles for me. And I'm loving every episode. I'm enjoying the wonderful guests that we have. But do you know what, Brooke? I'm enjoying seeing how our friendship grows as we do this journey together. So thank you.
Oh my goodness. Well, I love you too. And thank you so much to everyone for joining us on another episode of the Campus Chronicles podcast.
Thank you for joining me on Campus Chronicles. I hope you found our discussion informative, inspiring, entertaining, and fun. We are always working hard to make sure that our episodes are the very best they can be, which means we need your help. If you liked what you heard, remember to hit the follow button on your favorite podcast platform and drop us a review. It helps us to connect with more students who are hungry for success. And remember, the journey never stops. Keep listening, keep learning, keep growing. See you next week for another amazing episode of Campus Chronicles.